Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Ask a Muso podcast brought to you by Jim's Cleaning Bottoms South. I'm at the home of Brisbane Drums today, and without any further ado, I'll pass right over to you, Matt. Give us a bit of an intro, tell everyone about what you do and why I'm here.
Hi guys, firstly, thank you for coming. Really appreciate it, and I love that you're doing these kind of things and supporting local musos and actually, you know, making something informative and fun for local musos and anyone that's wondering actually what's going on around this amazing little town. So, welcome to my home, which is also the home of Brisbane Drums in my gigantic workshop over there, which I'm very fortunate to have. So, Brisbane Drums, for those who don't know, is primarily a repair and maintenance service. It's what I specialise in. So, modifications, fixing all those broken things, you know, rejuvenating old drums, you know, spicing things up a little bit. So anything drum or percussion related and maintenance related is really what I specialise in. Although there are a few other things that I'm slowly branching into. And of course I've got many plans in the pipeline, but
always a few irons in the fire.
Yeah, exactly, man. And you know, it's more of a slow and steady concept for me. I don't, you know, as many ideas that I might have floating around, I've chosen to just really focus on the repairs and maintenance, and just really just be good at you know, a few things rather than try to spread myself thin and not do so great. And become overwhelmed.
Become a jack of all trades and a master of none.
Yeah, exactly.
And then no one really knows what you actually do.
Exactly. So, you know, yeah, as much as of a great idea it is to have all these different ideas and concepts and things I'd love to do, for now at least, and because I'm a one-man show, Brisbane Drums is just me at the moment. So, it's just easier for me to manage everything. And that being said, I've got repairs and repair jobs coming out of my ear holes. So there's actually enough work just doing that, you know, without anything else for the time being anyway.
Yeah, no, that's good news. Busy's always good.
Absolutely.
How long has this been a thing? Like, when did Brisbane Drums kick off? Was this just sort of like an idea you had because everyone knew that you were handy with, you know, a compressor and a couple of files and things, or was this always something you wanted to do because you was a player? Or?
Yeah, sure. So I'm not sure a lot of people have wondered this. So to quickly answer your first question, Brisbane Drums, as it now exists, we're pushing up to 3 years now. As far as me being in the public eye goes, and online and stuff like that. About 3 years officially in Brisbane, and I've been operating this as my full-time job I'm just about to hit 12 months now as a full-time gig, although rewinding a little bit, my background and history kind of dictates differently. So yes, Brisbane Drums is recent for the last few years, although I worked in music retail for about 5 years in a music store in Tasmania. So I ran the drum and percussion department down there in pretty much the best music store in Tasmania, which was fantastic, and it was a real amazing opportunity that I had. My development of, you know, the interest and whatnot for drums, it seeds right back to high school, really, you know, so I'm talking over 20 years ago. Then music retail for many years. I did a lot of repairs. Like that experience alone got me exposed to so much hands-on that you wouldn't normally get exposed to. So every day I was unpacking brand new drum kits out of the boxes. I was fortunate to visit a lot of suppliers and manufacturers and stuff like that, and really get some inside experience with drums and the anatomy of drums. Just personally, I'm a very curious person as well. I love taking things apart.
Putting them back together again and seeing how all that...
Oh, the process. It's you know, what can I say? So, and of course, yeah, I play drums, you know, so I've played in a lot of bands and toured and done all that as well on the side. So, and to top it all off, I'm a carpenter by trade. So
it was the marriage of all of those. It's like, I've been on tour. I know what happens when something breaks.
Yeah.
I want to know how to fix it. And then also I know how to fix it because I'm that way inclined.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's definitely been, yeah, just a slow, you know, I'm talking 15 year or 15 plus year culmination of all those things. I'm also qualified in, I have a diploma in small business management. And I also have a diploma in music theory as well. So I also used to teach for Australian Children's Music Foundation, their program. I did a little bit of work for Holyoake as well with their drum beat program. So yeah, and I also used to own a cafe and run a cafe in Tasmania. So
why not? Of course, right in the mix.
You know, because I do love coffee. But that's that cafe space. I also, it was a multi-use space. So in the evenings and on weekends, I would put on small acoustic gigs. I would host poetry slams, record appreciation society clubs. Like, you know, like I just really. Because I love the music community. I love the idea of what music brings to people's lives as well. I love seeing people enjoy being creative and seeing what they can do, you know, with their own time and with their own skill. I love encouraging
new, you know, talent and things like that.
Absolutely. And part of that is encapsulated with Brisbane Drums. So, like, for example, reviving that old drum kit from your grandpa's shed that's been dusty for 50 years, you know, getting that out, reviving it and bringing it back to life again, it helps create a new interest. It fosters a new interest for a child or for, a, you know, for someone's dad's old drum kit and it's bringing back motivation. So, you know, this, it goes full circle for me, at least morally it does. So.
Yeah, no, totally. And I think it just sort of shows how important to you a sense of community is. Like,
absolutely.
Word of mouth and things, that's how I came across you. Mm-hmm. Because I'm not a local, like, wasn't initially when I first, yep. and dealing with JP in Big Sound Percussion in that group, he knew of you because he was a Brisbane boy and yep. that sort of thing. How important is community to you in regards to the fact that you're flat out and you don't have a chance to scratch your own ass and things like that? How important is community in building your business, but also dealing with the fact when we're not playing live and all those things at the moment?
Sure. So the word community that you've used is actually, I've got a few key words that are part of my business plan. So I do have a business plan, an actual plan, and community was one of the very first sort of umbrella concepts and words that I came up with in relation to Brisbane Drums. So, you know, rewinding back to my days in music retail, I used that opportunity and me working in that store to, yeah, build, you know, personal relationships with a lot of customers and schools and educators and things like that. So, and that at that time, that evolved into me putting on masterclasses, putting on clinics, you know, and utilizing local teachers and schools and facilities to host these events. And, you know, and I started putting out a small quarterly newsletter called the Drummers Collective, and it was, you know, posted out to all these people. So I started to create this sense of community, and I found just the knock-on effects, without going into specifics, they were just positive all around. You know, people liked that sense of community, that sense of that they're part of something, the sense that what they're doing in their creative lives is part of something, you know. So it's like a painter, you know, and they've painted a painting and then now it's part of an exhibition, you know, it's part of something bigger. It's on display for more people to enjoy. And I feel like the word community really, it's really important for me personally, and it's important for my for the business and the future of the business. The second umbrella word, which has been a more recent realization for me, is resources or resource. So, you know, I don't like, you know, like I like the word, yeah, community inclusion, stuff like that. So I'm not out there to, you know, take away business from any other existing store.
And or, be an empire builder or something like that.
No, I want to be inclusive. I'd like to, you know, a lot of my operations, so, you know, I use a lot of drum skins, for example, a lot of parts. I'm always ordering stuff and things like that. So rather than me going directly over the top of all these local bricks and mortar stores, I include them. You know, I've created some really good relationships with these stores, and I deeply appreciate that. And that little, you know, we scratch each other's back thing has worked harmoniously, and it's just, you know, proof's in the pudding that how well it's worked. You know, creating that relationship rather than creating that idea of, yeah, building an empire and I can do this myself, you know, like...
Yeah, I'm a businessman, here's my business plan, rather than I'm a guy that does stuff and would you like something, would you like me to be a part of whatever your project is?
And likewise, yeah, absolutely. So that's a huge concept for me. And so, yeah, I don't want to go out there and start selling drum kits and selling this and doing stuff and pulling the rug out from under people's feet. You know, look, maybe 5 years down the track, something might happen with a shop space or whatnot. But honestly, for the foreseeable future, it's not in my plan, and it doesn't need to be, because the bricks and mortar stores really are the crux of what's cool, you know, about buying instruments and seeing, going into a shop and seeing a shop full of drums and all that. That's cool, you know, like, yeah. Everyone loves that.
Having,
you know,
a chat with a guru, like, I know when I go to my music shop, like, Shake It Up Music it's just a bunch of lads that when I rock up, they all say, "Hey, Bailey," and then we talk about drums for a bit, and that's what you go for. You go for that experience.
Absolutely, and that's it. So, and part of that's what's led me to think, you know, like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So I don't need to come in and try to take over anyone else's territory. So it's never been my plan, but there are certainly still gaps in the market that need attending to. There's still niches that can be filled without upsetting anyone else. So resources is something I'm working on a lot at the moment, and with my webpage, brisbanedrums.com.au, I am very, very soon opening up a new section on that webpage, refreshing a lot of things. And one part of that resources concept is I've got a local teachers list. So it's a free service. It's a free for everyone. There's no catch. There's literally no catch.
It's just about putting people who want a teacher or something like that in front of someone that does that.
100%. Like, nail on the head. So that will be opening up very soon. And that resources section will also encompass some other things, you know, useful tips for drummers, podcasts, videos, blah, 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 blah. You know, I'm in no great rush to go out there and create as much as I can and shove it all in there. I just want to do what's important, what I think's going to count in the community. So, yeah, like teachers and students finding each other. And just embrace a little bit of the modern movement, you know, where we're moving in the business sector, in the music sector, in everyone's personal lives sector. You know, the last 18 months with the old spicy cough has forced a lot of, you know, what are now becoming permanent changes to the way people operate business.
Yeah.
You know, in the beginning, they were temporary changes. People, you know, adapted quickly to continue business. But now a lot of those adaptations have become normal life, normal business. It's part and par. It's just, and it's what people are expecting now, you know. So I'm not sure if it's a golden lining to a dark cloud with the coronavirus thing, but, you know, one way or another, business and life is an evolution.
It has to evolve. It has to develop.
Absolutely.
And so, you do get left behind if things like this. It's hard enough being in an industry that is pretty much known for being left behind anyways.
Yes.
So it takes people like yourself. It's a person-by-person thing. And as we discussed off-air before, the idea of sorting out your house and then working in your local, then working in your community, not going out to reinvent the wheel on a global scale. Just sort out your household, you know, as Jordan Peterson says, sort out your household and then start focusing on everyone else.
Absolutely.
So, and then people are more authentic and more interested in that because they know you've got it going on. You're not a number to them. You're a person. You're a customer. You're a client, whatever the context may be, a teacher, mm-hmm. a student. And people understand that because some people are a bit it's pushed introverts to be more introverted, and it's compressed maybe the aspirations of extroverts like myself. But
absolutely,
those that maybe are a bit introverted need a bit of encouragement, and you need to let out the olive branch. Don't make yourself a big boy or like a big brand that is unachievable or won't answer a message if you're flicking one and things like that, because people will snap out of that extremely quickly.
Yep, and I 500% agree. Also a Jordan Peterson fan. I know what you mean. It's like a knife blade, you know, edge of a knife blade, tipping one way or another with causing introverts to fall further into a, you know, introverted space, and extroverts to feel, you know, like oppressed by what's going on lately. Like feel like they've got no outlet, so on and so forth. So, yeah, and I mean, it is another reason that, and I do, I answer everyone. I try to answer every message. I get messages 24/7, you know, on Facebook or Instagram or whatnot. Just little questions. Hey, man, how do I do this? Or I had a dude over in the Middle East, like, and he's been a constant. We've built this, you know, nice little rapport online, and he's doing a lot of drum repairs and stuff himself in his local area, and he's quizzing me on how to do this and how to do that all the time, and you know, and I'm fostering that, and I love it. I don't see it as a threat. I don't see encouragement as a threat. Maybe I won't give away my deep secrets with my process, but you know, overall, I don't mind helping people out, and just, you know, like I don't see things as a threat, or, you know, like, oh, better not do this because that might cause that, or, yeah, you know, like, just inclusion, community.
You get a sense of the vibe of the person anyway. You can certainly sense those that are poaching and those that are interested and go, hey, I've noted a person knows more about something than I do. I'd like to talk to them about
that's
that
right.
Thing.
And I do it myself. Like, I am constantly pestering people for that bit of extra info, or how do you do this, or where did you get that, or whatnot. And that includes, yeah, local brands, local suppliers, other Australian creators, other Australian musicians and whatnot. My customer base reaches all around Australia. I don't think I've got a WA one yet. Maybe not.
Well,
WA.
We'll hook that up. We'll
hit me up from WA somewhere.
We'll sort that up. Someone who plays drums in Perth.
Send me something.
You know where to find us.
Yeah. But yeah, so like the community, you know, by proxy, it stretches further than the local community when you're talking about an online presence. And getting back to the introvert extrovert thing and coronavirus and how it's affecting everyone. A lot of people are now, you know, creatives are relying on online collaborations. They're relying on online expression. So, yeah, uploading their playthrough videos, uploading a how-to or whatever video. Even bands are recording full albums remotely and performing remotely. You know, so it really is this new wave of something. And clearly, like, I'm just... You know, we all wait for the day to come back when gigs and life's just back to normal and we can have packed out rooms and get sweaty and just love the whole thing. But the reality, I think, is that there's some of this is going to stick, you know, long term. Some of these concepts and temporary measures are going to stick long term, you know, and that includes the drummers community and how drummers operate, how teachers operate. You know, how schools operate.
For sure.
It's just how it is, and I'm okay with that. Everyone else, I've got mixed reactions, you know. I know there's a lot of really upset people around there with what's going on, and like, trust me, I'm upset too. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah. Yeah, no. I shouldn't... Yeah, don't misconstrue it for a second that it's like, oh, well, things change, get on board, babe. It's not like that.
No, I should have really clarified that there. But, yeah, so anyway... I've kind of lost track of where I'm going with this. So,
well, I'll put you onto a different track, maybe.
Sure.
To go more specific, you said you've got things coming out your ass at the moment, like so many different projects and things. Mm-hmm. As I see things that you post, especially vintage pearl kits and things like that, you know that I'm no stranger to letting you know my thoughts on those. But what's your favorite project or a favorite client you've worked with or something like that to date that you really stick in your head?
Well, I'm not sure if anyone out there in the audience may or may not have noticed that, that follow the work that I do. But I made it a bit of a just an unintentional rule that I never post who owns the gear that I work on. But I, that being said, I have been very lucky to work on some gear for some high profile people over the time, which I feel really privileged to do. So, yeah, there has been a bit of that because I don't need to go out and say, oh, I did work for this band or I did this drum for this guy or,
yeah,
you know, like...
That goes back to that authenticity thing. People see those sort of people from a mile away.
Yeah, I just... And I don't need to. Like, it's... I'm not... Like, I'm there to showcase my offerings and examples of my work, you know, and my capabilities. So that's really what the social media is for, in my opinion, you know, as far as photo posting and
stuff demonstration
like that.
Of what I produce.
Exactly.
Simply so you know what you're getting for. It's rather, it's not about who did it.
Yeah,
it's not about them.
No, exactly. You know, so they can post it and tag me and whatever. And I'm you know, and that happens, you know, I follow up and go, yeah, you know, whatever. And someone can post it after, but I don't do it initially. But some highlights. Oh, man. I mean, every project is a highlight in one way or another because they're all different. I've got some pretty special stuff that I'm midway through at the moment, actually. I've got some Bell Bronze raw shells, three of them that I'm working on for a guy in Melbourne who is from a pretty well-known band, and he's doing all the cool things. But so those Bell Bronze shells, they're 5mm shells. They weigh a ton. I've been machining them down and lathing them a bit, and they're breaking all my tungsten tips and causing me all kind of colourful headaches. But the results, I'm really looking forward to the results. So they're kind of special because Bell Bronze is very... You know, it's like the pinnacle of drum shell in the snare world. So working on those has been a real privilege, and having that client bring those drums, you know, entrusting me with those drums. So there is a lot of trust as well that I get.
Absolutely. Especially when it's interstate and it has to get there. It has to get to us somehow. Like, it has to get to Queensland somehow.
Exactly. So there's a lot of that kind of stuff. And... you know, but they're new shells. So, like, let's just to be realistic about it, if something went direly wrong or the shell exploded on the lathe or whatever, you know, I can get a new one, you know, as much as I wouldn't like to and it costed $1 squillion, I can get a new one. On the other side of the coin is vintage drums. So working on vintage drums is also a privilege in itself because they're often from people who have a deep love for this kit or that kit was something special to their family or you know, something like that. But if you break something or during the repair process or you're cutting something down or drilling a hole or whatever you're doing, if something goes wrong, you're kind of in trouble.
Yeah, it's a piece of history.
Yeah. So, you know, vintage kits always bring a bit of nervousness to me, but I try my hardest to ignore it. I ignore those nerves because if you start getting nervous when you're working on something, stuff goes wrong. Like, you don't want your brain surgeon with a shaky hand while he's cutting you open, you know. And it's the same with drums. I have to just ignore the nerves that something is precious or expensive or unobtainable again.
Or a complete family heirloom for, you know, Auntie Donna and, you know, you know, the Christie family. They're all going to cry if there's a single scratch on it. But
exactly.
you put it in your head.
Exactly. I try to put it away and I just do the job and just... you know, pretend it's all the same. But I mean, there's no real specific highlights and lowlights. I like every job I get is a privilege, really, in one way or another. And, you know, I get simple things where it's just, hey, can you change your snare head and tune it up? Yes, I can. Or can you, you know, do a full strip down? One of the more nerve-wracking ones, actually, a few months ago, I stripped down a Sonor Delight bass drum and hoops and had to colour match it to some other existing drums.
Oh, wow.
Incredibly nerve-wracking job because of the value of the drum. The finish had to be like a factory perfect finish. The client had expectations. I have my own expectations,
of course.
But there was a bit of pressure to get it right. And luckily, yeah, I did. I took my time and done, you know, the products I choose. I try to use the best products I can. And it came out great, thankfully, you know, and the customer came, and when he came to pick it up, he bought me a bottle of wine. He was really thankful, and, you know, like, it was a, I mean, I don't drink alcohol, but the wine, it was a nice sentiment, you know.
Yes, very nice.
So,
yes,
you know, and it was a nice hurdle to get over to be able to not only produce work at a level that's at Sonor factory level, but also have the client be equally as impressed. And happy with what he'd entrusted me with, you know, because I'm telling you, it could have went either way.
Yeah.
It was a clear lacquer, you know, so, and it was a tinted lacquer. I had to tint it to match some other drums that he had, and
Yeah, no, that's most definitely a task.
Yeah.
I can imagine that would have been, we lost a few hours of sleep that week.
I did. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. I'm not going to lie at all. So, but, you know, like, if the other thing is, like, if I don't challenge myself, you know, then what's the point of it? You know, if I'm not offering results that other people, you know, anyone can just get, then there's no point of it. So, you know, I'd like pushing boundaries. I will say no to things I know I can't do.
Yep.
Happily.
That's important as well. That's definitely important, especially that authenticity, that entrusting.
Yeah.
It's, man must know his limitations.
Yeah, exactly. And that's something I've just learned over time in my, you know, short time on this earth. It's okay to say no, and there's no pride lost in saying no, because there's nothing worse than taking on a job where you say you can do it and then you just completely get it all upside down. So
just to finish off, where can the people find you? Where can
Okay, so brisbanedrums.com.au is my website, or the website. There is a contact form on that page, which you can type your inquiry in, get in touch, and that's where most of my contacts come from.
Yep.
So please utilize the website. Instagram is probably my second biggest thing, and Facebook equally. They're my three contacts, essentially.
Yep.
So brisbanedrums.com.au or just Brisbane Drums on Facebook or Instagram. Super easy to find. Can't get it confused with anything else.
No.
And yeah, send me a message and we can go from there.
Yeah, beautiful. I appreciate it, Matt. It's been really good to pick your brain on sort of like the inner workings, the back of house, but also to talk to someone who really appreciates community and how important it is to work with everyone and stuff, especially now at the moment. But no, it's been a real pleasure.
Likewise, my friend. Likewise. Thank you so much for having me. And yeah, I look forward to the future with I don't know. We'll figure something out for the future.
I don't doubt
it. Keep this relationship happening.
I don't doubt it for a second. I don't doubt it for a second. I've recently just bought a drum kit to use for lessons and things like that. And who knows, it might need some TLC. So
awesome.
You know, I know where to find you.
Awesome.
Well, that's another episode of the Ask Me So podcast. It was a pleasure, and it's nice to be on location in the Sunshine State. And once again, YouTube's the place you're going to find these. Every Tuesday at 9 a.m. these drop on the Tube. So like, subscribe, do all the business, find this guy. And if you got anyone that needs anything drum related, percussion related, or just a really nice chat with a nice lad, then you know where to find him. So YouTube, 9 a.m. every Tuesday. And until next week, I'll see you later.